sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Stop it. Stop it. Sit down. Sit the fuck down. Calm. Yes. All right. Settle down. Hey, come on. Y'all doing too much. Come on. What the fuck? Okay, shut the fuck up. You speak too loudly. Walking through the streets in the Great War cry. Had enough when another one dies. 9 to the rescue, run the path, down to the mortals, and lead the wrath. Constant walkie-talkies with the squealing of pigs. The niggas don't have permits, and they've taken the bridge. What can you do? What can you say? Life in the zero, the game we play. Fist up to get down, always ready to step. And if they hit me with the stick, yo man, I break your neck. I walk like a lion, stalk with an elephant, pivot like a gorilla. Pigs become irrelevant, and you persist with legalities. I resist and rebel because I'm reality. And while I'm booming this, I'm not a humanist. I'm just a pro-black nigga, and I'm doing this. Nah, man. These crackers ain't ready. All right, okay. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Mr. Grandpapa B pour toutes les francophones dans l'audience. Dans la salle. Before I start the show, I want to remind you listeners, you returning listeners, that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, blue, and a red, black flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. Sorry, I meant to say raise a red, black, and a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on February 8th, 2023. What is it? 5:50 p.m. And plus 4 degrees in the National Capital Region. Kind of weird for a February day, but I don't know. I think the white man is trying to set me up. But that's plus 4 degrees today. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yes. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is, Let's do this right. Before I start, you know, it's interesting, that cheering you heard at the beginning. I was thinking about how, not to be cocky, I'm not the cocky type, you know, I struggle with self-acceptance, but I'm thinking of the idea that some folks go through life able to cheer their own self, like they're their own superstars, They're their own celebrity. I'm not sure if they take it to that extreme, but I'm thinking of this commercial that I saw a long time ago. I think it was by Starbucks, and it was a person. I think he was just waking up in the morning, and there was a whole crowd cheering him on, and there was a mascot of this person cheering him on throughout the day. And the Coke commercial was about how Starbucks, I think it was Starbucks or one of those power drinks, about how, yeah, man, we give you energy, we get you going. But I like the idea of, think of your favorite sports team, think of your favorite celebrity, think of whoever you put a lot of energy into, seeing their victory, seeing them win. And I'm trying to imagine being able to put that same energy to myself. Sorry, I mean, I'm laughing because that's like some forbidden shit. That's I go through life with this in my head. Ooh. Yeah, no, that or which one is it? Where did it go? Which one is it? Do I have it? Did I save it? I guess I don't have it. It's
I am your king now.
Not that one. Okay, I didn't save it. I thought it, you know where it is? Okay, there it is. It's, this one. Excuse me, miss. You come here often? I'm gonna apply to this job. I think I might be... You know what I mean? It's like, it's, I can't explain it. I mean, I probably can. And I'm sure it's nothing that therapy can't fix, but it's more how I'm aware how I've normalized being my own worst enemy, not cheering myself up, just assuming the worst out of myself. And, I guess I think this is going to be a gimmick for me, man. Starting the show with loud cheers. Started with cheers. And I'm also thinking about how that moment in when I was doing comedy and the MC, especially when they're, you know, someone you're friends with. Actually, it doesn't matter. Whatever, right? Or the MC of the show, the supportive type. Maybe their friends are not, right? But they want to see a good show happen, and you know, usually most comic are like supportive of each other, and the MC calls your name, might say shit like, I've never seen this motherfucker before, but he looks funny, whatever, something like that, and he calls your name to the stage, and that initial applause you get from the audience, these people haven't seen you before, it's your first time on stage, they just heard the name, B Black, and they start clapping. I just, it's a beautiful moment, I just can't explain. I think a lot of comics, that's why they do it. That initial applause, it's like you forget the fact that you have Mom Spaghetti on your shirt. And then that initial applause, people don't even know you. They're applauding you to the stage and you just walk towards that microphone. And you hope you don't bomb. Anyways, all this to say, I think that's going to be the new gimmick for the show, right? Starting with cheers. And maybe you should try doing that. Having your own, when I say try to do that, not you cocky motherfuckers. I'm talking if everyone who can relate to going through life and hearing this sound. Even when you're doing something right. Even if, you know, hey, sir, this is my best effort, boss. Yeah, sure. I just made this, you know what I mean? Anyways, yeah, so try putting on some of this. Bonfire. And, you know, I just realized that there's a long-ass delay between me. It doesn't matter. All right, okay. All right, B-Fuck, focus on the time. Focus on the time. Yes, I already said welcome. I already checked it. Okay, so step one, let's start the timer. Last time I used Google, I forgot to set up my timer. Doesn't matter. It's my fucking podcast, so I can fuck up as much as I want. Well, I mean, not really. Not intentionally. I am trying to give you quality. trying to give you quality, but I'm trying to do it without hurting myself. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense? You know, without like beating myself up like a parent saying, look, man, you better not fuck up at that recital. All my friends are going to be there. Yeah. All right. So this is, sorry, I'm distracting. I am. Okay, there we go. So this is what I do. I have the timer set up so I don't go over. So I'm mindful of the time. Shout out to Toastmasters that gave me this idea. And shout out to, what is it? TMTimer.calibgrowth. All right. And green light at 15 minutes, yellow light at 17, red light at 20, even though I've already used up 10 minutes. Fuck! Sorry. All right, come on, B. All right. Okay, we gonna win. Okay, here we go. Boom. All right, gang. Now, first item on the rundown sheet. So, you segment titles, okay? Because I've been struggling between how to divide the show. You know, initially I was going to go act one, act two. Actually, before I used to call it This Week in Therapy, excuse me, and then Random Thoughts, and then I switched it from Random Thoughts to Personal Thoughts, and now I think I'm going to go with, are y'all ready? News and Random Thoughts, because that's just more specific, and then end with Personal Thoughts. Personal Thoughts is, I noticed that there was something different about me. Personal thought is usually, it's not that, part of it is being an introvert, but it's also like I could be around people who like to talk about cars, politics, I could talk about politics, but like cars, camping, if you're in Canada, the fucking weather, the cottage, you know, just all kinds of shit. That would be news and random thoughts for me, even though I don't have a cottage. Personal thoughts would be the shit that I usually want to talk about, deep conversations, like about you know what? Okay, I got to think this through, but for now, two segments, all right? News and random thoughts and personal thought. I'm going to relabel personal thought, but okay, so let's start with news and random thoughts. Okay, and I use that beat to break everything off. Okay, again, this podcast is a work in progress. I'm still figuring things out. You're walking into a home that's still being renovated, and while I'm asking you to, sleep, just put the hammer beside you and just sleep there. Okay, yeah, okay. New segments. Random thoughts. You know, it just hit me. This might be a self-pity thing on my part, but I'm 48 now, and I'm one of those people who sleep with, I have sleep apnea. Took me a while to have sleep apnea. Shout out to the girls. Shout out to all the women who try to, who kindly or unkindly told me, "Motherfucker, you snore." You know, I'm like, mm. And then it's funny. One of my white friends told me that. It's so funny. No, I think one of my white friends was talking about sleep apnea, and they were just saying, "Yeah, if you snore like a motherfucker," I'm like, You know what? All the women I've been with, they never really like spoke about how great the sex was, but they will talk about how much I fucking snored the night before. Anyway, long story short, I'm one of those people who sleep with I have sleep apnea, and I sleep with one of those machines called a CPAP machine. And my only point to all this, I'm taking a lot of time just to say that ain't nothing sexy about it, but fuck it, those machines are effective. Oh my God, I didn't realize that sleep could, like, I already enjoyed sleep, but with this machine, like, with my brain able to relax and not, you know, and not worry about, hey, this motherfucker's not breathing again, wake him up, it's a lot, it's been great, but only reason I bring it up, two reasons I bring it up is, one, it's not sexy, okay, three reasons I bring it up, one, I'm thinking about how it's not sexy, but, fuck it, two, it makes me appreciate my sleep, three, not that it's happened yet. But I know that if I walk in and my date sees, like, you know, my prospective, a woman who I'm about to have consensual sex with, sees that machine and freaks out, then I'm like, yeah, you know what? You might be too young for me. Yeah, man. If you plan on dating an older man, don't freak out when you see a CPAP machine. Matter of fact, you want to impress him, you better be able to say, oh, that's a CPAP machine. My granddaddy had one before he died. Some shit like that. Whatever. Yeah. Anyways. I think I had 3 points I was trying to make, but it was just, you know what? The only reason I bring up my CPAP machine is because it hasn't been working lately, and I'm fucking pissed off, and I'm looking for solutions. Stupid thing. The machine works, but it just keeps leaking. You know what? Holy fuck. I'm just giving you old man rant right now, but yeah, next item. Okay. So the piece that I shared with you at the beginning of this podcast, came from a rap song by the dope ass rap group, the X-Clan. Now, the X-Clan, I could tell you, there's a running theme, if you notice, about this month, where I've been, for Black History Month, I've been just talking about rappers, rap groups who've, like, influenced my blackness throughout my youths. Did you say youths? Yes, I said youths. And X-Clan is definitely one of them. And they didn't just impact my blackness, but my identity. A lot of how I dress on stage as a comic or the shit I say at the intro, this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. That's an homage to them. I still remember the first time X-Clan came to the scene. Now, I was just in the middle of explaining what the piece that I was reciting was called Operation Snatchback. Yeah, let me sure I get the title right. It's from their first album. It's from their first album. And it's, they have To the East Blackwards, released May 15, 1990. Yo, that motherfucker, that album changed my life. And the title of the track that I was trying to recite was called A Day of Outrage, Operation Snatchback. That's in relation to, one, the reason I'm reciting, and the title of today's episode, Fist Up to Get Down, is a line from that piece, from that rap song. Remember the first time hearing it. See, that's okay. Let me back up. X-Clan, influential rap group. I remember the first time they came to the scene. I'm like, I am all in. I remember being those black kids who didn't want to know nothing about Africa. You know what? My ancestors. Okay, not only were my ancestors slaves, but they came from Africa. You know, I was that kid. I was like, I had a lot of self-hatred about my origins but I remember when X-Clan came to the scene, I'm like, yo, give me a fuck. We're going to Africa. I'm buying beads. I'm buying this shit. And now, granted, I understand that, you know, they're black Americans. They're not actually from the African continent. They just, is it appropriating? No, they are just have a, that's just an homage to their ancestors. And they were big on Egyptology. But, you know, that's not what just made X-Clan great. It was their lyrics. It was deep. Well, at least it was to all of us, right? Like, it was deep. Every time you listen to it, you're like, oh, shit. Okay, you learn. You would like, oh, that's what he's saying. Like, I don't know. Maybe for people in New York, maybe their homies, maybe the people who in the entourage of X-Clan, like, to them, it's like they take for granted what they're saying. But to me, this shit was, like, amazing. Like, Fist Up to Get Down was one of those verses that just, once you understood it, it painted a picture that just smack hit you in the chest. Well, that's going to be a long homage to X-Clan here. But I'm just saying that, Fist Up to Get Down was just, I should probably explain how the reason why I chose this track. Well, okay, to be honest, the reason why I chose this verse and this rap song is because if I would have thought of it too long, I would have never figured out a title. Like, there's so many tracks, verses from their catalogs I could have said. After I picked that verse, a track from A Day of Outrage, Operation Snatchback, I've been like playing Verbs of Power on repeat. But that's another conversation. Anyways, two reasons why why this track is appropriate for this episode, because one, Fist Up to Get Down, is so it permits me to give an homage to X-Clan. And two, In my personal thought, I'm going to have a thought about Trayvon Martin. His birthday was passed recently, and I found myself just thinking about Trayvon Martin, especially the tragedy and his death. So, right, I should probably explain that A Day of Outrage was, that's some fucking sad shit. Day of Outrage, I believe, was written in response to the death of Yusuf Hawkins. Black kid who walked through, was it Bensonhurst? And only reason I know this is because of, again, I live in Canada, and it's because of X-Clan. And yeah, black kid who walked through Bensonhurst and was with a white woman, and they killed him, man. And it just, what gets me is, oh, hold on a second. Were the people who murdered him? I am assuming, you know, because black lives don't matter. The people who killed him got away with it. But there was protest. There was, here you go, trials. The two teenagers who led the mob and beat and chased Hawkins were tried separately. Joseph Fama, the man who fired the shots that killed Hawkins, was convicted with second-degree murder. Oh, at least he was convicted. The other man defended in the case, Keith Mondello, was acquitted on May 8, 1990 on murder and manslaughter. Right, okay. So fast forward to recent Trayvon Martin. And I still remember how I felt after that verdict for George. Anyways, yeah, for that fuckboy Zimmerman, man, I hope he's suffering somewhere. Anyways, okay, but that's gonna be for the last segment. I forgot I have a timer going, but yeah, man, shout out to the X-Clan, man. Shout out to the X-Clan. This is I had three more points I wanted to say. Yeah. X-Clan was the reason why your black friends started to refer to you as, if you're white, X-Clan is probably the reason why your black friends started to refer to you as a cave boy or of a cave woman. So where is that from? Yeah. It's either from the X-Clan they got that from, or reading the Malcolm X autobiography, or Ice Cube. Ice Cube Death Certificate album. But there's going to be an homage, surprisingly, there's going to be an homage to this month for Ice Cube later this month. But anyways, I said made up. Their lyrics were so deep. God bless the friends that I grew up with. Because I had one who was like into Egyptology, and he was able to break down some of the concepts that X-Clan was rapping about. He said, you know, like, oh shit, he's talking about Ra. Ra is the Egyptian god and blah, blah. It was just, by listening to X-Clan, it forced me to learn about Egypt and the fascination and how fascinating the pyramids were. Amazing, right? And fuck the Greeks while we're at it. Yeah, but I remember there was a time where I found myself saying, what if this dude is not being, what if Brother J, the rapper, the main rapper, is not being deep and he's just making shit up? Yeah, no, he's not. Okay. Oh, the other point I wanted to make, I guess I should probably bring up that by today's standards, X-Clan is likely considered problematic. They would fall under the category of Hotep niggas. I didn't know. How the fuck was I supposed to, like, I don't know. I haven't met Brother J. I know he's a poet, but I wonder where he stands on black trans lives, the lives of black trans. Whatever, man. But I know he was big on masculinity, being a man, being standing up for being a family man, and all that shit. And you know what? Okay, I didn't really want to bring that up. I really just want to remember, cherish, and give an homage to the X-Clan. Like, they meant a lot to me growing up. I don't want to talk about the problematic aspect. I ain't trying to debate that shit. I'm just saying, RIP Professor X, and it's funny, right? Black people, our heroes are, we have heroes that, you know, you can't speak out loud about because, you know, they were flattered for other people. Last point I was going to make is I want to say a shout out to Eminem in one of his track. I think it was called Yellow Brick Road. And he has a reference to X-Clan, and he talked about how, yeah, man, how X-Clan made it tough for white kids who loved hip-hop growing up. I love the fact that that Eminem acknowledged that, because that for me, that's how I know he's been down from the culture. He's been down with the culture from the beginning. Because yeah, man, when X-Clan came out, yeah, I may have given a hard time to, I was an angry black kid back then, and I may have given a hard time to my white friends and mixed race friends too. Unenlightened, you know? Not that I'm saying that X-Clan preach and give it a hard time to your white friend and your mixed race friends, but they really, for me, is, yo, I want to be blacker than these niggas. And if it means oppressing whitey, then that's what I'm going to do. All right, okay. Let me get through the, continuing this homage to the X-Clan. I am going to play this clip that I found on, what do you call that guy? Are you going up or are you going down? Yeah, I'm going to play this clip that I found on TikTok. Oh, YouTube.
So why did
Okay, wait, before. Oh, yeah, on YouTube, right? And because, like I said, X-Clan had me loving everything African. And I'm going to play this clip. I find this is apropos. And it's called Ancient African Mud Bricks Equals Genius. Again, this will be in the show notes on the website. And I love hearing this clip. I guess it would be better if you saw the images, but I'm still going to play it, right? 1 minute, 55 seconds. And I love the fact because the big reference to mud brick. And I remember how growing up, I used to be ashamed of, you know, the ideas of mud houses. And look, I'm going to play this clip because it deserves the attention. And I'm also thinking about how I just rewatched Black Panther 2. And notice that one of the buildings looked like a hut, like had a hut set up. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was made from mud bricks. You know, basically credits that the white man would never give to our ancestors. But here we go. Ancient African mud bricks equals genius. Here we go.
So why did medieval and ancient Africans all over Africa use mud bricks to build their cities? Mud bricks, primarily made of clay, hold insightful advantages. Clay is an easily available resource in sub-Saharan Africa, and economically sensible. It's durable and can last hundreds of years. Yes, it's not as durable as stone, but it's perfect for a city that changes and evolves often. Fireproof, mud bricks are fireproof, and unlike wood, they don't catch fire. In an often hot and dry place like Africa, this is an important advantage. It's a natural thermal insulant. If you've ever lived in a brick house in summer, you know AC is a must. Well, Africans were cooling their houses naturally with clay bricks. It's also breathable. Mud bricks are also pest resistant. That is incredibly important in hot and humid climates, especially those prone to malaria. They are very versatile and allow for a wide range of architecture. And medieval Africans took full advantage of that. Yet, another advantage is that you don't need to destroy your forest to build your cities. Other advantages: they are easy to install and easy to acquire the masonry skills for. They reduce noise, they require less energy to produce, and they can be recycled in new projects. Even today, modern dwellings use economically sensible materials for building common dwellings, like wood. In fact, all over Africa, there is a trend to go back to clay bricks. Message. The pernicious idea that medieval Africans using mud bricks to build was backwards was intentionally spread to reduce African achievement and ingenuity. Message. Yes, many of the sumptuous African mud bricks architectures have been erased by the prolonged rainfall and colonization's culture eradication efforts. However, that does not mean that these structures didn't or do not still exist.
Right.
Who wants to have a beautiful palace that you can never stay in because it is too hot or has too many bugs?
Right.
Follow us and see how those who are said to be without history birthed civilization itself.
Message.
Wah, brah, 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 brah. Right. Now, I don't know, if you're black and you heard this and you felt like a sense of pride, a pride that was repressed about your origins, your African origins, that's what listening to X-Clan, not just listening, watching X-Clan was all about for me. It was like you wanted to embrace everything about your unknown, suppressed origins of Africa. Now, that means a lot, considering how it went from shame to pride. I don't know if y'all can relate. If yeah, all right. Second clip I'm gonna play is it's called "The Egyptian Pyramids Are So Old." Again, you know what? I should I should reference the authors. Actually, before I do that, let me this white guy playing it, right? So this is a video stitched by Andrew Wollner. Okay. And the person's talking is called Julian himself. I'm likely going to link the video to Julian himself, but I want to shout out the people who stitch videos because they're the ones who, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have never seen the Target video. But here we go, all right? Julian himself, break it down.
What's something you learned that absolutely blew your freaking mind?
The Egyptian pyramids at Giza are so old when the Romans discovered them, the pyramids were older to the Romans than the Romans are to us now.
Y'all hear that? The pyramids were older to the fucking Romans than the Romans are to us now. So we're talking before 9/11, before my birthday, before World War One and Two, before Civil War, the birth of the United States, the birth of Canada, before fucking the plague in Europe. How far am I going back? Holy shit. Before fucking Jesus. Before Cracker Jesus. Wait, hold on a second. No, the Romans were after Cracker Jesus. I'm sorry. Okay, but hold on. But you see my point. You see my point, all right? I'm just rewinding it a bit because sorry for the interruption. Keep it going.
Are to us now. The pyramids are so old. Sorry, pyramids time. Were older to the Romans than the Romans are to us now.
Break it down.
The pyramids are so old that when they were built, there were woolly mammoths still walking around in some places on Earth.
What?
Those pyramids are so old that Queen Cleopatra lived closer to the invention of the iPhone or the internet than she did to the construction of the pyramids. I'm telling you guys, learn your history because the world starts to make sense when you know history. If you don't learn your history, you're never going to understand the world that you live in, and you'll never understand why things are the way they are.
What's something?
All right. Okay. Hold on. Let me Google Woolly Mammoth. I grew up with a white boy. That's not true. But yeah, I can be a skeptic. You know, I'm playing shit that I haven't really fact checked. But I really want to believe it's true. But then again, that's exactly what do you call that? Anti-vaxxers do. So, okay, the woolly mammoth is an extinct species that lived during the Pleistocene unit of extinction. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, there's no way for me to get this quick information. All right, you know what? For the sake of conversation, I'm going to assume what he says is true. Look, the point is the fucking pyramids were around for a long time. They were around in a period that, for me, was outside of my head. You know what? No, they were around in a period that I thought white people existed. That was before even white people. You know what I mean? I don't think you understand how fucked up the brainwashing these white folks did put in our head as black kids. Like, if I could go back in time, I don't think you can understand. Look, think of your most heinous insult you can say to a black person. We have it playing in our head. We bought into, we were savages, we were oranges. Like, there was so much shame in everything about us. It's like, fuck, please, can we be with you? Like, it's like I'm trying to explain the hatred some of us black kids had for our own self growing up. Because of this wicked system that we grew up in, man. Yeah. And that's why I guess I'm grateful for the Escalan showed up. It was like, oh, whoa, wow. Yeah, man. I'm just going to, you know what? The next segment was going to be about Amira El-Gawabi, who I covered in the last episode. It was just an op-ed someone wrote about how she shouldn't have apologized. I agree. But I'm just realizing that I'm looking at the time and I'm going over my allocated time and I'm trying to be righteous about it. And plus, I just spent the whole episode, I guess I just wanted to use this episode to pay homage to the X-Clan. And the other thing, too, is respect my time. Respect the time. Respect the time. So, yeah, man. Shout out to X-Clan. Wherever you are, the Black Watch, RIP Professor X, and everyone. Like, I wish I could make this segment. Well, okay, no, that's a lie. In order for me to make this segment longer, I would have to write shit down and do a bunch of research so I could say some factual shit. Right now, I'm just speaking off the cuff. And yeah, man, this is like, what's a black people drink that I should have? Holy shit. I, if I were to pour out some liquor for Professor X, one, did he drink? And two, would Hennessy be disrespectful? I guess I should look it up. I should look it up. But all right, okay. All right, gone over my time. And this concludes the segment, News and Random Thoughts. Oh, that's right. I spent a lot of time talking about my CPAP machine, which was kind of bullshit. It was just a rant. But yeah, okay. So this concludes the segment on news and random thoughts. So let's jump to personal thoughts because I want to respect your time. And on the other end is I just finished work and I'm working on an empty stomach here. I don't do too well on an empty stomach. So next segment. Here we go. There we go. Okay. Not bad. All right, and I got to warn you, personal thoughts, I tend to, basically there is no time limit, but I don't, well, I'm kind of surprised. I keep forgetting that I can talk a lot. It's funny how I pack my rundown sheet with a lot of subject, because when I'm writing it, I'm worried that, oh shit, what if I go silent? What if I run out of things to say? Which never happens. It has happened before, but I figure it out. But okay, here we go. Personal thoughts. Okay, first one I'm going to start with is probably a little shame. One of those, I'd rather you hear it from me than heard it from someone else. But I don't know what the fuck is going on with my Android phone. I can't remember updating this motherfucker. And let me see if there's an update. But all I know is, wait, hold on a second. Oh, my Uber's on its way. And it's a black guy. A fucking black guy. I'm not going to say his name. Sorry. I'm being racist on against my own people. You know what I mean? That's why I listen to X-Clan. X-Clan spoke against that shit. Right. Oh, you know what I forgot to mention? The part where he says, while I'm doing this, I'm not a humanist. I'm just a pro-black nigga and I'm doing this. I think that was a low-key diss against KRS-One. Because KRS-One at that time was big on being a humanist. And that's growth. I didn't understand that beef. And I guess what I was saying is by today's standard, X-Clan is considered problematic. Now they were pro-black, which I agree with. Problem with the pro-black movement is all of a sudden we're discriminating about who gets to call themselves black. That's my problem. It got too fucked up for me, man. So all of a sudden, I jumped on the humanist train, man. Not because I'm trying to bang white girls, this is just me being honest. It's just being realistic. I've seen, one is I don't believe, I'm one of those black people who don't believe that black people were meant to be bonded as one race. We're diverse. As a human being, like, white man fucked us over. We're a fucking diverse group of human beings like any other humans. And, yeah, man, this whole bonding over one race has only worked out for white folks, Europeans. And actually, not all Europeans. Just a small group of them, they've been able to say, yes, we're one white race. And it's only benefited, I mean, sure, it's benefited all white people, but I'm saying benefited the most. At the top of that fucking pyramid, it benefited a small group. Which is why, by the way, I don't have... Oh, you know what? Okay, I'm getting off topic. All right, okay. Where was I going with? Yeah. I love how I get off topic. Switch to YouTube Music. See, the problem with this is... Right, I was in the middle of explaining... I don't know what the fuck's wrong with my Android phone, but all of a sudden, certain apps... All of a sudden, my Tidal application, music application, is unreliable. And I got to tell you, man, when you play music, if you're a music app, out of the one things you don't fuck up, like the time, like there better not be any bugs, is a fucking music app. If you can't stream music properly without interruption, then let me go back to, bring back Napster, man. Let me download my illegal music like we used to do back in the old days. But all of a sudden, Tidal is playing music and interrupts, loses connection to the internet. I don't know what the fuck that's about, but it was pissing me the fuck off. I Googled it, can't find any solutions. All I can find is a whole bunch of people complaining about the same thing. But it breaks my heart that in the middle of February, I have to break away from the one Tidal application that a black man owns 20% of. But, you know, but Jay-Z's a billionaire. Fuck that nigga. Anyways, yeah. I love his music, but come on. He's a billionaire. Like, he gives a fuck about me. Hey, no, don't get me wrong. I'm happy for his success. Good for you, black capitalism and all that shit. But come on. He's a billionaire. Like, he gives a fuck about my black. Like, he's really like, what? Be black? Is losing connection to Tidal? Fix it right now. Get him on a helicopter. And, yeah, give him free tickets to the Beyonce concert in Toronto. Anyways, mid ended up switching to YouTube Music, and those motherfuckers, when I say switching, I mean join their premium package, and I gotta tell you, man, fucking YouTube, oh, those assholes, man. One, they have a service that makes you, they fix it, like, they give you all these features that it's like, yeah, you're not gonna go back to, once you, it's like the first hit is free, I got 3 months free, because they know, me specifically, yeah, you're not going to want ads on YouTube videos anymore. Yeah, you're not going to want that. You're not going to want ads on, and also, like, the app that figures out what I like to hear is doing a way better job than fucking Tidal. It breaks my heart to do this, to say this, but anyways, this is my confession. How long have I been talking about? Was it more than 5 minutes? This is me confessing that I switched to YouTube Music. I wish it was black owned. Hold on a second. I'm about to redeem myself. Black. Hold on a second. Oh, God damn it. Black engineer at Google. Okay. Which is only one guy. Google honors Jerry Lawson's black engineer who... No, you asshole. I mean, yeah, shout out to Jerry Lawson. He's the guy who made the game cartridge, but I was told there was a black engineer who worked at Google. Okay, you know what? I'll do that. Google CEO reportedly confused as black female engineer. Wait, what? Google CEO reportedly... God damn it. Fuck you, Slate. Okay, Google CEO reportedly confused a black female engineer with an administrative assistant. Of course they did. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, we're reading this story. Hold on a second. Fuck that shit. Hold on. Stop the press. We are taking extra time to go over this article, especially during Black History Month. This article was printed on November 13, 2017. Yo, but off the cuff, man. I just discovered this. Black Google CEO reportedly confused. Oh, Google CEO reportedly confused a black female engineer with an administrative assistant. Still. Black female engineer, yo, I have nothing but, okay, first, I have nothing but respect for engineers, because I kind of have a hatred for them, because I always wanted to be an engineer, and it never worked out. Then I saw the math course they wanted me to take, I was like, it's not going to work out. And then, so I have a lot of respect for engineers. But black engineers, holy shit, that's like, yeah, go ahead, fuck my girl. I'm exaggerating. It's a joke. These people are jokes. All right, okay, here we go. Reading this article.
Google CEO reportedly confused a black female engineer with an administrative assistant.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to slow that shit down. Oh, no wonder. Okay, yes. No wonder it's hard to listen. Okay, here we go. Boom.
Google CEO reportedly confused a black female engineer with an administrative assistant. Google CEO reportedly confused a New Yorker article published online on Monday, as part of its November 20th issue, recounts some alleged slights of women of color at Google. The piece.
Okay, fuck this. First, you're going to read this a little faster for me. And second, do we have a black person in here? Okay, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do this voice.
The piece, entitled "The Reporter Sheila Kotel-Hackar Documents How Unequal Pay, Inappropriate Advances, Exclusion from Leadership Roles, and Other Both Subtle and Blatant Forms of Discrimination Can Make Tech Workplaces a Cruel Environment for Women." Erica Joy Baker, one of women who spoke with Kotel-Hackar, described an alleged incident at one of tech's biggest companies. Baker, a black woman who is now a senior engineer at Patreon, had worked at Google from 2006 to 2015. She recounts an incident with Google CEO Eric Schmidt. At one point, Baker said, she was working as an engineer in a group that provided technical support to Google's top executives. She told me about a day, in 2008 or 2009, when her teammate, a man named Frank, was out of the office and she was sitting in the executive tech support room on her own. Google's CEO, Eric Schmidt, walked into the room in need of help and asked where Frank was. "He's not here. Is there something I can help you with?" Baker recalled telling him. She said that Schmidt asked her to leave Frank a message describing his technical issue, which she was more than qualified to address.
Of course.
I said, "Oh, I can take care of that for you." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Oh, you're not his assistant?"
Nigga.
Baker recalled. Schmidt then suggested she put a sign on the door explaining her role, even though other offices didn't have such signs. She added that senior Google employees often confused her with the sole other black woman in a technical job on her team. "We used to jokingly call ourselves the twins, even though we don't look anything alike," Baker said. Her impression was that many of her colleagues couldn't distinguish two completely different black women from each other.
I know what that's like.
Google did not respond to requests for comment about the incident.
Of course not.
A self-produced report that Google released in June shows that only 20% of technical jobs are occupied by women in the company.
Damn.
And black people make up 1% of Google's tech workers in the U.S. Kotel-Hackar notes that the Department of Labor audited the company this year, finding huge gender imbalances in pay for almost every type of position, which Google disputes. Three women also brought a class action lawsuit against the company in September, accusing the company of placing women in positions with lower wages. The suit further alleges that women in those positions are paid less than men in similar roles. The full story, which details problems at many large tech companies, can be read here.
Yeah, that's not gonna, okay, right, we're not going there. You know what I'm gonna do? Is I'm gonna Google black employees at Google. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because Google recently had a layoff, and what if they all got shafted? According to its 2021 diversity report, 4.4% of Google's U.S. employees were black plus. That's an interesting, which includes workers who identify as more than one race, one of which is black. That is far below the national average of 9.1% for digital publishing and search companies, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Oh, man. Google gives black workers low-level jobs. Motherfucker. Holy shit. Oh, man. These motherfuckers are discouraging. Okay, this article came out, and this article is more than 10 months old. Google accused of lawsuit of... Damn. Wow, this just fuck up my black history month. Black former employee sues Google of racial discrimination. Come on, Google. Fuck, man. So you hear this shit? You see what I'm just saying? All right. I'm like, this is how tough it is to be a black person, man. I'm trying to support my people. That's why I stuck with Tidal, man, because a black man was 20% owner of that shit. I'll take that. But the fucking thing stopped working, man. Yo, you want to piss me off? Play music unreliable. Look, I've shot DJs for less for fucking up the music. Allegedly. Okay, who am I kidding? You know, I've never shot a DJ over it. But I did think about it. There's a lot of rap songs about shooting DJs for fucking up. So I'm just saying, how am I going to let a fucking piece of software on my Android fuck up? Look, come on. Look, I tell you what. If you friends with with Jay-Z, take the I'm full of shit, okay? I will lie. What I'm getting at is really what the challenge is, the personal thought is how switch to YouTube Music, and fuck, the service is amazing. Like, not only do I get ad-free on their music channel, but I also get it on their YouTube page, on their YouTube channel, which I watch a lot. This pisses me off. I mean, come on, Tidal, can you meet that? Can you come on, eh? I'm like, shit. It's not easy being black. You want to support your people, but you don't want to get ripped off. You know, you want to get the same features, the benefit. Look, I have a dream that one day I won't have to. Okay, I'm full. This is just the struggles of being a black man. Okay, sorry. The struggles of being a privileged black man. I understand this falls under first world problems right now. But I'm just saying, man. Them niggas in Sudan don't know how bad I got it. I'm kidding. I'm fucking kidding. All right? Okay. I'm trying to be funny because without the jokes, why would you listen to this podcast? All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So next item I got. This is just a quick thought I'm going to say, but I just realized that I just had a moment when actually I was watching the movie show. I don't know what it falls under. It's on Netflix called Laundromat. And they're talking about billionaires. And my mind started to wander, and had me thinking about how I spend a lot of time wishing I was everything but myself. Like, right. And it just had me thinking of this quote by Lester Freeman in The Wire. Lester Freeman, if you don't know who Lester Freeman is, catch up. And there's a quote where he's talking about one of the characters. His name is Jimmy McNulty. And if you're The Wire fans, you know exactly what I'm about to say. He goes, Jimmy, you know what a life is? I'm not going to give you the context of why he said this. Watch the show. But the quote is fucking famous. He goes, you know what a life is? He goes, a life is the shit that happens while you wait for moments, while you wait for things or moments that won't happen or for things that won't come. And yes. And I'm thinking about how I interrupt my own life to fantasize about being a porn star, a billionaire, a celebrity. I thought I was going to need to develop the thought. You know, when I watch a lawyer, someone my parents could be proud of, you know, all these things, fantasizing about these things that won't come. But I don't know, you know, sure, there's a possibility. You know, there's a astronomical statistic about me winning the lottery, but even if I was rich, but I just, instead of embracing the life that I have, I spend a lot of time focusing on the life that I may never have. It's just a thought. Just wanted to share that with you. And shout out to Lester Freeman in that quote. All right, okay. Two more items before I go. My voice is my voice. There's a content creator on the internet. Oh, I need to bring up how, yo, Twitter's fucking with me. Apparently, I managed to reach my limit of tweets. I don't know what that's about. Focus, B-Black. Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but I'm gonna have to. Elon Musk is fucking with me. Anyway, I'll get. Oh, there we go. Twitter down. Okay, hold on. Does the trend go Twitter down? Okay, Twitter must be fucked up. I can't tweet about Twitter being down because Twitter is down. Oh, that's why. Okay, I thought there was some huge conspiracy against this black man. And but yeah, man. Yeah, I went to send a tweet, to reply to a tweet, and I got a message saying, hey, you reached your limit. And I Googled that limit, and it said 2,000 and the limit is 2,400 per day. And I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm tweeting that much. My account was hacked. All right. Okay. So while I'm on Twitter, right. Okay. So there's a content creator, dope, very funny, creative content creator. And I established with his credential about him, how he's dope and funny. And he tweeted something recently that had me thinking. And it starts with, my voice is my voice. I came to terms with it years ago. It's naturally high pitch. It's a gift. It adds character, okay? But guess what? My beard connects. Hairline, flourishing skin, going crazy, okay? Just tell me when I'm talking too loud and we'll be fine, babe. And I guess people have been fucking with him for his voice. And it's so funny to me why this tweet is so special for me is because I've been so focused on the fact that he's at a level that I can only dream of. I dream of myself. You know what I mean? Like, this tweet's got 3,783 likes. Oh my God, 190. Kid, that's a lot of numbers. Like, I gotta go back in 1994.7 views. 1,094.7 views. Yeah, 182. My point is, he's very successful as an internet personality. He's a successful internet personality, but he's a human being. And I love the fact that he starts out, like, this is some inspirational shit for me personally, is he's saying, my voice is my voice. I came to terms, like, people are fucking with him for having a voice, but, you know, of course, people are taking shots at the crown. Is that the expression? Criticizing him. But I like how he just took a moment to say, you know what? Be mad. My voice is my voice. Oh, my point is, the whole time I was enjoying his content, and I read this tweet, I'm like, oh, I could have made fun of his voice. It just, I think it's just, there's something powerful about this statement, about just being a top of your game. And you have to be like, you know, oh, you know what? Suck my dick, you haters. But my voice is my voice is something I could say. All of us is our unique voice. We're going through, I need to think about that for a bit. Going through this universe, being this unique human being, irreplaceable human being, like this brief moment in life. And a lot of us just go through it, try to repress ourselves, being thought to repress, you know, hide it when we should be doing the opposite. Anyway, salute to Joshua Neal, man, and I wish you continued success. I don't know you personally, you know, there's a chance we may not get along. Okay, sorry. This is me being Captain Negative. I always assume that. You know who hurt me? it's meeting a lot of comics whose craft I've enjoyed. And once I met them in real life, I'm like, oh, wow. I kind of wish we weren't friends. So lately I've been like, that's what happens is that, you know, you look at these celebrities, you admire their work and you assume that you would be the best of buddies, but it doesn't always work out that way. Yeah, man. And especially women. That girl you're beating off to, yeah. If you and her had a talk, you'd probably be like, oh wow, you owe me lube. All right, okay. All right, now I'm gonna end on a more tragic note. The death of Trayvon Martin. I'm not gonna go over the scenario. Just share a quick thought. So someone I follow on Twitter posted on February 5th, a tweet by Nina Turner. It says, Trayvon Martin should have turned 28 today. This was on February 5th. Happy heavenly birthday, Trayvon. And let me make sure I get his birthday, Trayvon Martin, because I believe he died on the same month he was born in. February 26th. Oh man. Okay, so he's born on February 5th, 1995, Miami, Florida. Died on February 26th, and we don't know how. And I won't lie, man. Trayvon's story hit hard. Hit home. Made me cry. Made me want to cry, man. I can't remember if I cried, but I know I was close to tears. And if I didn't cry, it's only because of, you know, I think I broke the part of me who can cry. But that's another story. But my point is, it hit home. Because I remember the way he died. And there was an inner, the inner slave, the inner, what do you want to call that? The inner Uncle Ruckus in me wish he could have been there with Trayvon to be like, yo, easy. You can't be scaring these white folks. I'm not saying he's scared. I'm saying his death reminded me. Everything I heard about this story is basically some white man who should not, some fragile, heart pumps Kool-Aid white man who should not have been in possession of a gun had one. And Trayvon's not crime, but his only, the tragedy is crossing path with him while existing, while being black. He made some white dude scared his presence. He didn't make him, but some white dude saw him as a statistic, as one of those fucking black guys. One of those, you know, just saw him as the villain in the story. Reduced him to being a villain in the story. And this man had the, in his hand, I'm talking about Zimmerman, had the, in his possession, a weapon that could take someone's life. I'm just saying, one negative perception of a person and Trayvon's gone. I still remember fucking Zimmerman explaining the story. It's like, man, look, man, it's like, we got into a scuffle and he tried to reach him and then reach for my gun and, but I grabbed first and I got him and it broke my heart. I'm like, but you fucking started the fight. You picked the fucking fight with him. You looked for him like a fucking predator. And that's the thing too. That's what kills me. This is what kills me too, is how when he targeted Trayvon, it's like bro, not only am I going to kill you, not only can I kill you, I'm going to get away with it because this whole fucking world agrees with me. You're the problem. You're a curse of, like, I'm trying to see the world, through the eyes of this white guy. It's like, I'm the Autobots, you're the Decepticons. I'm G.I. Joe, you're Cobra. I'm light, I'm good, you're evil. And like, I don't know how much thought process went into, I doubt, you know, I'm overthinking this tragedy. But this is me trying to put my feelings into words. This is my attempt, like trying to express how, you know, I'm okay. I can't see it coming down my eyes, so I gotta make this podcast cry. I gotta make this segment cry. It was just the idea of how he saw a villain, and you know, fucking Mr. Wannabe Cop. And says, yo, I'm going to do something. Like, this was his charity. This is, in his mind, in his twisted, fucked up mind, this was his charity to the world. Confront this black kid. Not just confront this black kid. Confront this black kid while in possession of a firearm. And based on what I saw in that court, the way Zimmerman handled himself in that court, it's as if he knew. He's like one of those white guys who, like, know just enough to get themselves in trouble. Well, in this case, he didn't get himself in trouble, but he answered the question properly. It's like he knew the law, the stand your ground laws, and he knew, well, I guess his lawyers prepped him perfectly. He knew exactly what to say to get the law into, look, come on, white people. Who's never had a nigger intimidate them? Well, I handled them. Like, you know, just like fucking, what is it, Killer Kyle there. He worded his way properly, and then next thing you know, and because that's the part that really killed me, is the verdict, the non-guilty verdict. Yo, I remember in that period of time, I guess this was during the Obama presidency, and I live in Canada, surrounded by white people, and surrounded by white people who don't want to hear that racism shit. As far as I'm concerned, racism ended 3 seconds after the Martin Luther King speech, the I Have a Dream speech. All of a sudden, all the white, you know what? Oh my God, this racism shit is awful, it's evil. Let's stop. Kumbaya, Michael Jackson, sing a song about We Are the World. But I was going through this period where I was starting to consider the possibility that maybe I am being a little too hard on these white people. Maybe I am being a little, like, maybe I'm exaggerating with this racism shit. Now, I got to remind you, I'm surrounded by white people. I live with white people, like, who take offense, not just by your blackness, but they don't want to hear that. To them, you're making them feel bad having to hear about your history, about slavery, about... To them, it's like, can you please cut it off? You know what I mean? You're upsetting my child here. Like, to them, your existence, everything about your existence... Okay, not everything. Everything that's not entertaining. Anything they can't consume, they can't profit of about you is like an inconvenience to them. So I was gaslighted into believing that, you know what, maybe I'm being a little too harsh on these white people. Like, maybe that instinct, that unwritten program, self-preservation instinct in my mind to always make sure that white people feel comfortable around me. The Zimmermans of the world. Like, I never assume, I'm talking, because I live in Canada, you know what I mean? Like we got gun laws. But even without weapons, I know the importance, how my life, how important it is for me. It's my self-defense mechanism. You know, I'm thinking of women who walk with rape whistles. Rape whistles, is that what they're called? Rape whistles? For me, it's, yo, B, you're a 6'1" black guy. These white dudes, the majority of white dudes are intimidated by you. Calm down. Make them laugh. Tap dance. Crack a joke. Hold on, this is me letting my... Yeah, I'm like, there's like a subroutine in my brain making white people feel comfortable. And sometimes I feel like I'm really good at it. You know what I mean? I even do use it, you know, with black folks. Not with black folks, with other human beings, but especially with white folks, there's a subroutine is don't look threatening. Don't be threatening. Yeah, so I remember wondering whether this is that instinct I have is one of those things I needed to unlearn. I needed to, like, okay, it's exaggerated. We're living in a new time. There's a black president now. Like, these white folks are telling me that we're in a post-racial society. Or they need me to believe. In order for me to get along with these white folks, I need to believe in this post-racial society. And I remember I think I was really to bet on it. I think I was really to, I was ready to be surprised. You know what? I think I was ready to feel again what I felt when Obama became president, that same joy. So when that verdict was announced, I'm like, you know what? He's going to be found guilty and these white people are going to be, see, told you so. You need to relax, black guy. Told you so, white, told you so. When I heard that verdict of him being guilty. You know how when you've convinced yourself of the negative and you're surrounded by motherfuckers saying, nah, it's all going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's going to be great. And then the negative still happens. Like that shock. Like you wanted to believe in the positive. You wanted to believe in this better world. I wanted to believe in that shit. Yo, all this to say, that shit hit me like a fucking hammer. Like it. I wanted to go. There's a lot of black people listening to me going, fuck him, duh. That's what you get, you fucking idiot. And here's the thing. They're not being negative. It's just being, like when I listen to Ta-Nehisi Coates, he's been accused of being negative. Nah. That nigga's being realistic. That brother is being realistic. He knows fucking America. If I don't celebrate like the rest of you, it's because I know how this fucking country works. Like, there's a certain level of pessimism that's necessary to make it as a black person in this Western world, in this part of the of the world. And I, anyways, yeah, shit broke my heart, man. The shit was so, not just traumatic, so heartbroken that I said, yeah, fuck that. I called in sick the next day. And so I had, I remember a lot of people went, what the fuck, why? Yeah, they want to explain myself, man. Because I knew that day it was going to be impossible for me to tap. It was going to be impossible for me to play the role of the safe black guy. It was going to be, yeah, man, it was, God bless. Thank God I had sick days, but I called in sick. Of course, I made the mistake of telling a few, you know, few people about how I called in sick, because they were like, oh. Few people who didn't understand, like, how the death of Trayvon Martin and the verdict, the Zimmerman verdict, would fuck with me. Seriously, I'm angry. Okay, again, the blood pressure is rising again. I'm reminded of, you know, just this sheer insensitivity I was surrounded by. And yeah, man, I had this white dude who I considered a friend. And I, right. Yes, I was, even though I called in sick that day, I had a white dude who I considered a friend. And I was just, look, I'm a sensitive person, man. The words just came out. Like, I should have known better that, come on, like, he would fucking understand. I just blurted out. Lucky for me, in that moment, he knew better than to, whataboutism. Like, I don't know. I guess the humanity inside kicked in to be like, yo, this nigger's angry. This nigger's, he knew to shut the fuck up. I don't know if you've ever, you know, maybe he just saw me as a crazy lunatic speaking, but he knew to just shut up. Let this black guy talk. And he was like, let me say, I don't know what to say. I'm like, you know what? And then, I don't know. I can't remember past that moment after him saying, I don't know what to say. But I just remember how there was a human, we had a human moment where he knew to shut the fuck up. When I talk about my intro, when I say in my theme song, I forget, what is the line? It goes, real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. What I meant to say, in the original version, I meant to say, real friends know the time to, I didn't say shut the fuck up, but to keep quiet. A real friend knows when to be like, oh shit, there's emotions going on. It's in my benefits to, like, just let this person vent, let it out. I'm just going to be worse, have you tried, using Culligan. I'm trying to imitate a commercial. But anyways, all right, okay. Where was I? I should tell you that, you know, this same white friend, because fucking white people, if I'm bitter, if my regards for white people have gone down, it's because of this particular moment. I should probably mention that this same white person, when I came into work, fuck, felt the need to rehash some talking points that he found on the internet. I don't know. I guess he must have found the dark side of the internet where they were like, yeah, man, this whole Trayvon Martin is bullshit. These black people are just looking for reasons to riot. Trayvon was this bad kid. Zimmerman was the victim and all this shit. I don't know what the fuck he read, but this motherfucker had the nerves to rehash some bullshit that he found. See, here's the thing. In Canada, man, not all Canadians. I get it, right? And I'm talking about my specific world of Canada, right? Again, surrounded by white folks who are oblivious about the black experience. To them, Trayvon Martin could have pretty much been a character in a movie. And to him, I'm just getting upset at shit that's going on in the States that has nothing to do with you as a black person. I don't know. Did I just make this whole Trayvon Martin's death about myself? I mean, I didn't know him personally. I get it. But I'm just saying it is that what I'm doing? No, I mean, the real tragedy is his family. They're the one who, this brother lost his life. Who knows what he could have been? What, you know, what future he had in front of him. But we'll never know. Cause some punk ass bitch ass, you know, I don't know. I don't have enough words to express how much, how much I loathe this Zimmerman guy. Like, I mean, I got to be careful. You know, if something happens to him, I'm not saying that. God forbid he visits Ottawa and something happens to him, then I guess this will incriminate me. But I haven't, yeah, enough words to express how much I hate this dude. Specifically, what he did. The murder and the whole, hey, man, I was just defending myself against this gangster. How old was Trayvon when he died? 95, born in 95, died in 2012. Look at me trying to do the math in my head. Holy shit, 95. Damn, that kid was young. I'm killing 15, 17. Yeah, 17 years old. Shit, I remember. I think I lost my virginity at 17 years old. Obama got in trouble for saying, yo, Trayvon could have been my son. Fuck, Trayvon could have been my home. Trayvon could have been me. Trayvon could have been my homeboy. I think about the last, you know, I'm on the bus and my friends were just, black friends were acting up. But I'm like, I'm the one who's like, hey. Oh, these white folks are pissed, man. We need to bring it down. I'm surrounded by black men. Man, shut the fuck, man. Stop being soft, whatever. That, but no, but that's my self-preservation vibes kicking in. Was I exaggerating? Who knows? Was I exaggerating? I don't know, but I know that had I been around, no, I'm acting like, you know, I could have saved his life. It just kills me that I wouldn't have been exaggerated. I wouldn't have been ridiculous. I wouldn't have been out of line if I was in that moment walking with Trayvon and say, yo, bro, we got to be careful. There's a white dude following us and something's up with this crack. Something's up with this dude. Like there's a threat. There's an immediate threat to our lives. I wouldn't have been exaggerated had I said that. Like most people would have been like, yo, what the fuck's your problem? Why the fuck are you following me? My bad. Sorry, black guy. No, sorry, sir. I just thought that you were an intruder. Nah, man. Fucking. Anyways, I'm glad I got that off my chest. Happy birthday, Trayvon Martin. Rest in power, rest in peace. I never understood saying rest in power, but rest in peace. And I don't know, man. This fucking cruel world, man. I don't know. It's just, I'm trying to make sense of this cruel world that we live in, man. Yeah, and that's why today's title, Fist Up to Get Down. This is me saying, like, what I like about that that line is, it's that moment where we just had enough. And fist up as a sign to say, y'all, attack! Fist up to get down. That's why I love that line, man. Fucking. I don't know. I'm trying to end on something more positive. I'll tell you what. I'm going to. No, I don't have anything. I'm just going to leave it like that, man. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Holy shit. What are we? 051. Fist up to get down. I holler at me on Twitter when it's fixed. Holler at me on Twitter at bblizak and or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. That's where you'll find the show notes for this episode. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. So subscribe to this podcast. Just use the RSS feed that's on the website. You're like a big sign that says RSS feed. Wait, hold on. Make sure I'm not lying to you. Yes, subscribe using Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, fucking racist ass Google that doesn't have a lot of black employees. Fucking piss. And, or use the RSS feed on the website. Hey, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.